God's word today. We will turn to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 to 14. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, and find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them, for it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, "Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Amen. God is the Father of light. God is the Father of light. God is the Father of light. In James chapter 1, verse 17, it says, God is the Father of all light. He gives birth to his children with light. And in him, there is no darkness and no shadow. And it's described in James chapter 1, verse 17. It says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. So there is not a bit of darkness or shadow in him. And those who have become children of light, he will lead to his city, as it says in Psalms. So those who are his children of light, he will lead into his holy city. Our faith is to know that you were once darkness, but now you are light. As it says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, is to know you were once darkness, but now you are light. And to those who have become such and desire to be such, they know this and are confirmed in this. This must be their confession that we were once in darkness, but now light in the Lord. That is what faith is. And faith life, for those with this faith, they live a life like children of light. Live a life like children of light. In Psalms chapter 119, verse 105, it says, your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. So his word is my lamp and a light on my path, as it says here. So our faith life is a life following his light, and as children of light, we are to shine in the world. Today's sermon is called, I Am a Child of Light. To physicists and scientists, a famous one proposed that we are descendants of stars. But regardless of what the physicists proposed or have studied, the Bible tells us that we are children of light. Therefore, in order to live like children of light, I have prepared this message today. So how has man come to be? Scientists may say that it may be genetics. In Japanese and Korean cultures, they emphasize on blood types. And it's quite interesting. It's a generalization of blood types, of certain characteristics found in people, but we see that it's quite true. So there are some that suggest that it's nature, which refers to genetics and hereditary factors, while there are others who say that it's through nurture, which includes the environmental factors that impact who we are. Even with twins, by birth, if they have been separated and live in different environments, they become different people. So there are those who say it's the environment and circumstances that develops the person and their character. And others say that it's genetics, for there are certain characteristics that are inherited. And both are correct. They combine to shape and mold a person to be who they are. So today we are speaking of a child of light. Then what is the opposite of a child of light? Is it prince of darkness? So people who are in darkness are like the mafia. The mafia are in darkness. And for hundreds of years, they are born into these mafia families and culture. So they are forever in their lives in darkness. And they commit very dark crimes as they're born into this kind of environment. But we also see that in genetics, people inherit different characteristics from their parents, but also with the environment, they are nurtured. So the opposite of light is darkness. So light and darkness. Light has two characteristics when it's manifested and revealed. It cannot be hidden. So it's to reveal and shine. And that's the second characteristic, in that it shines. So light is revealed and manifested. And second, it shines. Darkness, on the other hand, it's the opposite. It's not exposed. It's not revealed. It's because when light is exposed, we know that darkness exists. And darkness, it has no form and it's hidden. That's why there is a saying that those in darkness are hidden and unexposed are. So those who have lived in darkness in their lives and are caught committing a crime, they're brought to the police. And so we see in the movies, they are brought into this dark room, and the police, he shines a flashlight on these people during the interrogations, and they keep their mouth shut and they deny the crime that they committed. But when under a spotlight, they eventually confess their sins when the light is shown on them. So the light exposes. So no matter how dark the darkness was, when the light shines, this darkness disappears. The Bible is a story of light and darkness. In Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 13, it says light excels darkness in some versions, or light is better than darkness. So light surpasses darkness. They have their distinct characteristics, but the light is greater than darkness, as darkness disappears when the light shines. And in Genesis, it started with light. We see light was created, but before that there was darkness. So God, he created light. He said, "Let there be light," and there was light. But in actuality, before there was light, there was darkness. And God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning the first day. So God created all lights, the greater and lesser lights, the bright and dim, day and night. He created the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. However, in the Garden of Eden, there was an event. God commanded Adam to not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, or he would surely die. But the devil deceived the woman to eat of the fruit, to disobey the word of God. And he is the devil, also called Satan, who was once an archangel in heaven. He had in his heart to become like God and raise his throne above God's. And he is described as a star. Compared to the other angels, he wanted to become higher and become lifted up and become brighter than all the others. So all angels were created by God. They were his created lights. But the devil wanted to be above all and become the brightest. and challenge God's throne. Therefore, God found this detestable in his eyes and cast him down to this universe until the day of judgment. The Bible describes this universe as a dark pit, Hades. So it describes the universe as a dark pit. This universe was in darkness, but God created light, and we see that to this day. And we see the stars that shine, the moon, the sun that shine their light, and that is why we have light to this day. However, Adam sinned, and because of Adam, our ancestor, in Psalms chapter 49, verse 19, it says, "He shall go to the generation of his fathers. They shall never see light." So because of Adam, because of his sin, all mankind was unable to see the light. It says they shall never see light. It's not referring to the light from the stars or the moon. When it says that they shall never see light, it is referring to the souls who couldn't see the spiritual light. And in Isaiah chapter 8, verse 22, it says, "Then they will look toward the earth and see only distress and darkness and fearful gloom, and they will be thrust into utter darkness." And where is this? The Bible describes that now they were destined for hell in eternal darkness. So there was first darkness, and God created light, and we see this in Genesis during his work of creation. In order to reveal to mankind that God is light and he will lead his children to the light, he worked in the lives of the Israelites. And we see this in the event of the Exodus. They were living in darkness for 430 years as slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt. However, God called Moses to lead them out, and they were to leave overnight. And it's described as the night of Jehovah, the night of Jehovah. So he led them out in the dark night, and overnight they were able to leave. So why did they leave overnight? Why was it during the night? It's because when they left during the darkness of the night, they would be all the more grateful for the light come daytime. And they followed the pillars of cloud by day and fire by night. And this is how Jehovah God led them. In order for them to never forget and remember this, they were instructed to build the tabernacle. In the courtyard, there was light from the sun during the day, but inside, it was dark as it was covered in curtains. And in the holy place where the priests enter, was there light? There was light. There was light, for there were lamps there. Also, beyond the veil, there's the most holy place. Is there light in there? Is there light in the most holy place? There's no light. So for the priests who went in and out of the courtyard and the holy place, they had light from the sun and the lamps. However, in the most holy place, contained in there was the Ark of the Covenant and the name of Jehovah and the cherubim. There was no light. But is there any record in the Bible that they ran into the Ark of the Covenant or cherubim in the most holy place because it was dark? No, there's no record of that. Because there was no need for a lamp. Because Jehovah himself was the light. Jehovah was the light. So when the high priest entered the holy, most holy place, it wasn't dark, for there was the light of Jehovah God. So when we see the sun, do we actually see the sun itself? We see the light rays. It is reflected light from the sun. So when we say God is the light, he in essence is light. So where did this light shine? From below? Where did it come from? the whole place was just saturated in light because God is the eternal light. And through the temple and the high priests, they were to know this. In order for the people of Israel to know and distinguish light and experience light and darkness, they were given the law. In Proverbs chapter 6, verse 23, it says, "For this command is a lamp, this teaching is a light. For this command is a lamp, this teaching is a light." The commands were described as the lamp and the teaching described as the light. So the light of the righteous will shine. The light of the righteous will shine brightly, but the lamp of the wicked will be snuffed out and become dark. So when they kept the law, there would be light, they would shine and be bright. But if not, then they will be put off, turned off, and it will be dark. So when we see our fellow members who miss the Lord's Day, we see the following week the darkness on their faces. But when we continue to give worship and continue to gather and succeed in this gathering, our faces shine so brightly because God is the light. God revealed to mankind that He is the light through the law, the commandments, and the regulations He gave to the Israelites. However, the people, they were foolish and they became defiled, seeking other outlets rather than Jehovah God. So this angered God, and so they were cursed. And the nation of Israel, they encountered battles and war. They lost their sovereignty, and like the blindfolded, unable to find their way and light. They were like the blind, wandering and losing their way. However, there was a prophecy to rise and see the light. In Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1, it says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. Arise, shine, for your light has come." There was a prophecy that someone would come and shine the light. The Israelites were like the blind, wandering in darkness. But this prophecy stated the one would rise and shine and lead them. And this was referring to the Messiah. After years passed, there came a time when there were no prophets, no law. And this was the Dark Ages, the Middle Ages. The Dark Ages spanned around 400 years before Jesus came. And it was a time where there was no light, meaning there was no prophet, no law, no commands, no revelation from God. So the people at the time were like blind orphans with no one to lead and protect them. So they were awaiting a prophet to come and lead and guide them so that their nation Israel can be restored. And that is when in the wilderness, a man appeared wearing a leather garment eating locusts. And it's described, John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. So he was a very strange man who appeared, and he proclaimed and shouted to repent. He shouted, "Repent. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." And he said, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath, produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not think you can say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.'" So many people received baptism and repented, and this was referring to John the Baptist. And in John chapter 1, verse 1 to 12, it says, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So this is what our sermon is about today. That in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And in verse 4, it says that in the Word was life, and that life was the light of men, of all mankind. So in the Word was the light. So the Word was God, the Word, and God is the Father of all light. So God, who would give birth to children of light, was life. The Word was with God. God is light. And so therefore the Word is also light. And in the Word was life, and was the light of men. The light of life. So inside the Word was light, and inside the Word is life, and that life is the light of men. So the Word, light, life are all synonymous. Word, light, and life are all synonymous. Word, light, and life. However, it says that though he was in the world did not recognize that he was the light. In order to testify about him, that is why John appeared. So at the time, the people were awaiting a revelation from God. They were waiting for a prophet, the Messiah, and were waiting for God to lead them. And this is when John appeared. And so the people thought that maybe perhaps he was the Messiah. But John answered that he is not the Messiah. He's not the Christ, but he only came to testify about the true light. And in John chapter 5 verse 32, it says, There is another who testifies in my favor, and I know that his testimony about me is true. You have sent to John, and he has testified to the truth. Not that I accept human testimony, but I mention it that you may be saved. John was a lamp that burned and gave light, and you chose for a time to enjoy his light. I have testimony weightier than that of John, for the works that the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I am doing, testify that the Father has sent me. And the Father who sent me has himself testified concerning me. So John the Baptist was born 6 months before Jesus was, and people went to John the Baptist and they believed that he was a prophet and sent by God, and they listened to him. And even when Jesus was in the world, the people didn't recognize who Jesus was. Even though he performed many miracles and wonders, they still didn't recognize who he was. And John the Baptist, he said that he's not the light, and that he only came as a witness to the light. So the true light that gives life to every man was coming to the world, and this was referring to Yeshua. So John the Baptist was just a lamp that burned and gave light temporarily and was to be only a witness to the true light to come. A witness to the true light to come, and Yeshua was the true light. So John the Baptist, he came to testify about Jesus. And in the Jordan River, he baptized and shouted out for the people to repent so they can return from their ways and turn to God in Jesus Christ. For Jesus Christ is the true light. And when Jesus Christ, he appeared before the temple, what did he say? He said, "Destroy this temple and I will raise it again in 3 days." The temple that was to be destroyed contained the name of Jehovah. And Jehovah was the light of the Israelites. Jehovah was the light of the Israelites. However, when he said to destroy the temple, he was referring to the temple of his body. The temple of his body, referring to his death and resurrection. And inside the temple to be raised back up again would be the name of Yeshua, the name of the true light. In the Old Testament, the name of Jehovah was like the lamp that was only temporary, a copy and shadow of the true one to come. Now it is Yeshua's name, the true light, not just a light for the Israelites, but for all nations and all peoples, and not just for the physical flesh, but for the soul, the spirit. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Will have the light of life. So he himself is the life and the light. And this is why Jesus said this. And there are a few examples. He came as the true light. There was the blind man. When someone is blind, they cannot see the light. But when Jesus Christ appeared, he healed many sick. And especially, he opened the eyes of the blind. So Jesus was described as one who opened the eyes of the blind. So he healed the blind. This was just miraculous in the eyes of all the people. For how can one born blind be healed to see? But many blind men came before Jesus and were healed and were able to see. And there was a blind man who was instructed by Jesus to go to Siloam to wash and be healed. So he did as instructed and was able to see. He washed his eyes and was able to see. Hallelujah! In Korea, there are many prayer centers and wells with the name Siloam in it, so people can wash and be healed of their sickness and disease. And I heard from someone that there was imported water from Korea, and it was from the Siloam Prayer Center. And there was someone who really believed that she could be healed of her skin problems if she washed with that. However, Siloam doesn't mean healing, or it's not what it actually means is to be sent, the one who is sent. God is light, and he shines his light, and the light that came from heaven, shines on the land, and that is what Siloam is referring to. Therefore, he is described as the light of the world. So Jesus Christ, he healed many blind, and this was one way to reveal that he is the true light. He also said, "You are the light of the world." So what must this light do? What then is the function of light, characteristic of light? We see this in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So it says, a city on a hill cannot be hidden. And like that, if you've ever visited Europe or have seen pictures, when you pass by a town on a hill, you see this light shining. And you can't miss it. It's so bright and shining. So like a city that cannot be hidden, you are to be a light that cannot be hidden. Also, no one lights a lamp and hides it under a bowl. Instead, it's placed on a stand, for its function is for everyone to see, meaning it cannot be hidden. So, meaning that our identities cannot be hidden. So to his disciples who followed him and truly know who he is, they cannot hide their identities, for they are to be the light of the world. The disciples who followed Jesus also performed many miracles and works like Jesus did and spread the gospel. And Jesus emphasized that they were to believe in the light. To believe in the light. Believe that Jesus is the light. Jesus is the true light. He is the true light. They were to believe this, and by believing this, they can be children of light. There's no pastor who doesn't preach about this. It's nothing new, but we have to truly believe in this to be a child of light. Do you believe this? Have you become a child of light? You must become a child of light so that we can enter the Father's house, that we can enter the holy city that is just shining forever and ever. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 43, it says, then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of the Father. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. So they were to enter heaven where the light of God shines forever and ever. So we must become children of light so that we can enter the Father's house and shine like the sun in heaven. Say amen if you want to enter the Father's house. Say amen if you want to enter the holy city. The only way we can enter is if we are children of light. There was a disciple of Jesus who had another heart and something else on his mind. And it's Judas Iscariot who betrayed Jesus. He was one of the men who wanted to make Jesus king, for him to be the light to the Israelites. And he wanted to see the restoration of the nation Israel wanted to reestablish the nation. And that is why he wanted to make Jesus king. However, Jesus retreated whenever this was mentioned. So in the eyes of the people, he may have seemed like he was afraid. But Judas Iscariot, who had in his heart to make Jesus king, he sold Jesus with the hope that Jesus would be put on trial before the Romans, and that he'd overthrow the Romans and lead the people in reestablishing their nation. So Judas, he sold Jesus off and sold him for 30 pieces of silver. 30 pieces of silver wasn't that much. Just enough to buy a small plot of land. And so this wasn't the reason why Jesus sold Jesus, why Judas sold Jesus. It was because he wanted to make him king. to shine as a light for the people and lead them in restoring their nation. So Judas got this totally wrong and misunderstood this. It's true that Jesus is a light, but he wasn't the light for the physical flesh and the people of the world, but he was the true light for souls. So Jesus, he was betrayed and handed off, delivered to his death. And when Jesus was crucified, he said, "It is finished." And from noon until about 3 p.m, it says, at noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. So there was complete darkness on all the land when he was hung on the cross. The clouds covered the sky. The sun was covered and there was no light, and the land was covered in darkness. Darkness came over the whole land. And Jesus said, "It is finished." Jesus said, "It is finished," meaning that the Son of Man died. The Son of Man died. Who is the Son of Man? He is God who came in the form of man. He came as man. So this is the Son of Man, and the Son of Man has two attributes of light and darkness. And in Ezekiel chapter 32, verse 7, it says, "When I snuff you out, I will cover the heavens and darken their stars. I will cover the sun with a cloud, and the moon will not give its light. All the shining lights in the heavens will darken over you. I will bring darkness over your land." And this is describing the death of Jesus. It says here, "When I snuff you out," meaning when I turn off, put off the light. It says, "When I snuff you out," meaning turning off the light. So the death of Jesus here is described as darkness covering the land, light being turned off and covered. So the cloud covered the sun, the moon didn't give its light, and this is just a sign that the light of Jesus was turned off. Jesus Christ, he is the light, and he is the Son of God. Who is God? God is the light of life and the true light. And Jesus, who came from God, is the true light. However, the moment of his death, the light was turned off because he came as the Son of Man. In God, the light shines forever. Is eternal, but because he came as the Son of Man, because he came in the flesh, temporarily this light was turned off, as we just read here. And in Psalm chapter 37, verse 6, it says, "He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun." He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. So the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, received the command of the Father, and he obeyed and submitted. And this is righteousness. We mentioned this in the previous sermon, that this obedience is the righteousness of God, acknowledged as the righteousness. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, he didn't die with his sins, for he knows no sin, he has no sin, but he died with the sins of mankind and being obedient to the Father's command. So his righteousness through his death, through his torn flesh, when he died, what came out was the light, and that is the true light. So when his flesh was torn, when he died, what came out was light. The true light was exposed and revealed, and therefore the sun, the stars, and the moon that were only like lamps, just a copy of the true light, were turned off the moment the true light shone. The moment he tore his flesh, the light came out. And this is referring to the blood of Jesus, and his blood is the true light. With his shed blood, it's the true light. and also the life, the light of life. So the death of Jesus on the cross was when his two attributes of light and darkness was fulfilled. So darkness is referring to his death and the light is his eternal blood. Amen. Hallelujah. So the Bible is just so amazing how all of this just connects and it makes so much sense when we connect the dots. Amen. Hallelujah. In Isaiah, it describes that God alone is the eternal light. So when Jesus died, the light was temporarily turned off. His light was temporarily turned off. And this was to reveal and testify that the Father alone has not a single moment of darkness, that he is the true and eternal light, and this glorified the Father. His death testified that the Father alone is the eternal light. For the Son of Man, light was turned off temporarily. You understand that, right? Amen? Just like when the electricity goes out for a second, it comes back on. Like that, the Son of Man experienced the turning off of light for a moment with his death. So those who receive his blood into their souls become the children of light. As we read in John chapter 1, 4, in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. In the Word was life, and that life was the light of all men. The Word became flesh. The blood that Jesus shed was life and the light of all men. Say amen if you have the blood of Jesus in you. Say amen if you have his blood. Then you have light in you. I have light in me. I have light in me. What light? The light of life. The light of life. So he completed this work and died and ascended to heaven. His resurrected body is described in various places in the Bible as the light. His eyes are like blazing fire. His appearance was like lightning. The body of Jesus, his body is light. And it also describes heaven in Revelation chapter 22, verse 5. It says, there will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light. The Lord God will give them light. This is referring to the holy city. And in Revelation chapter 21, verse 23, it says, the city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. So heaven is a place where there is light and it shines brightly. So the streets are paved with gold and everything else are precious stones. And the Lamb himself, his face is the precious stone, meaning that he is the light. He is the beautiful light, the light that shines so brightly. And there are no buildings in heaven. There is no temple as is described, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. God and the Lamb are the light. So when we go to heaven, who do we see? We see the face of Jesus Christ. Can you see God or not? You don't see God, but you see Yeshua. Amen. Hallelujah. And we see him as such beautiful light. Why is the precious jewel so beautiful? It's because it reflects light so beautifully in all directions. If you don't know what it's like, make a trip to Tiffany. Before I was a believer, I wanted a big diamond like my sister, because when you see a diamond, it reflects light in all directions. It reflects light so beautifully. In heaven, the beautiful light shines all over and it saturates heaven with its light, and it's the face of Jesus that shines so beautifully like a precious stone, like a precious jewel. And there's no building, no roof, none of that. There is the wall of the city. Has 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And even the foundations of the city walls were decorated with every kind of precious stone. The 12 gates are 12 pearls, and the nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. In the holy city, there's not even a bit of darkness, not even a spot of darkness. No darkness can enter the holy city. Darkness doesn't exist in the holy city. So therefore, those who are in darkness can never step foot into the holy city. So therefore, while on earth, we have to be the light of the world, be children of light. For if we don't have light in us, we cannot enter the holy city. For if not the holy city, then it'll be outside where there's darkness and weeping and gnashing of teeth forever. So this universe is the place that will one day become hell, where there is eternal punishment. This universe will one day become hell. And then outside this universe is the spiritual heaven. In order to enter the holy city, there is a standard. Not all can enter, for it's only those who have the qualifications to enter who will be able to. In the holy city are the 12 foundations where the light of the Lamb shines. But outside is darkness. Not even a slight glimpse of light. Not even a single spot of light. Only darkness is there forever and ever. And that's outside of the holy city. So where do you want to end up? In this universe, the eternal fire, or outside the city gates, or inside the city? We must enter the holy city. So therefore, in order to do so, we must have no darkness in us. We must be the light. First, we must acknowledge that we are a child of light. Say, I am a child of light. You don't just say this with your lips, but you have to shine your light to the world. It's not to be hidden, but it is to be exposed, to be revealed. So first, we don't hide our identities as Christians and Jesus believers. To whoever we meet, wherever we are to reveal who we are. Even in a business gathering or family reunion, family gathering, you have to reveal that you were once darkness and once in sin, but now you are light. You were once in sin drinking, partying, doing bad things, but now you don't do those anymore. Now you are light. Because we can't hide our identities. And during the course of history, there were many people who were put to death for their confession, for they didn't hide their identities, that they are Christians and believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So many people were martyred for their confession and this faith. Second, believers cannot yoke with unbelievers. Light and darkness can't mix. It says, what fellowship can light have with darkness? Therefore, believers don't yoke themselves with unbelievers. During the Old Testament, cows were attached together with a yoke and were inseparable. And they plowed the land. And like that, we cannot be yoked together with unbelievers. There may be instances where you need to help, or as a job you work for an unbeliever, but you cannot mix with them, you cannot yoke with them. So do not yoke with unbelievers. Third, we put aside the deeds of darkness. We put aside the deeds of darkness and bear the fruit of light. You put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. So we cut off, we get rid of all the darkness. And now we're the light and show the fruit of the light, which consists of goodness, righteousness, and the truth. Goodness, righteousness, and truth. These are the fruit of light that we must show. So when we believe in Jesus, we must change and show how we have changed. Just like you light a lamp and put it on a stand for all to see, we must testify how you've been transformed by believing in Jesus. How you were in the past and how you are now after coming to believe. And by testifying, you glorify God. There are testimonies that you were once an alcoholic, but now you no longer drink. Or you were once in a gang and are no longer in a gang. So you have to be proud of your transformation, that you were once darkness and now you are light. And you make it a public declaration. You testify about this to give glory to God. And this is how you can sustain this light to shine on, so that this light doesn't turn off. Fourth, we will read in 1 John chapter 2, verse 7. Dear friends, I am not writing you a new command, but an old one which you have had since the beginning. This command is the message you have heard, yet I am writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and in you, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates a brother or sister is still in the darkness. Anyone who loves their brother and sister lives in the light, and there is nothing in them to make them stumble. But anyone who hates a brother or sister is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. They do not know where they are going, because the darkness has blinded them. So the new command that was given to us is to love our neighbors as ourselves. Despite the many laws from Moses, the law of Moses, there's a new command as we read in 1 John here. In John chapter 1 verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. So closest to God is the Word. And John is the one who wrote about the Word. And when Jesus described John, he described him as the Beloved. The Beloved. And here we see in 1 John, he writes there is a new command, which was to a new command, which was to love your neighbor as yourself. And this is because the true light has come. The true light is Yeshua. Say amen if you love Yeshua and you acknowledge his love and you have received his love, say amen. If so, then such undeserving and worthless person full of mistakes, Yeshua loves. So therefore, though our brothers may have shortcomings and flaws, we must still love them. Amen. For anyone who does not forgive his brother and hates his brother is still in darkness. If you're still in darkness, when the Lord returns, do you think you will be able to enter the place where there is light? We will not be able to enter. We say amen, for Jesus is the light. It's not just with this faith and belief, but we have to show it in our lives. Amen. So, our brothers who sin against us, even enemies, we must be able to love so that we can be a child of light. As we want to be a true child of light, and to those who practice this love, they can enter heaven where there is the true light that will shine forever and ever. Lastly, what we must do is share and shine this light. We must share this light, which is to testify about Yeshua Christ, which is to shine this light. So today was a difficult message. But we are to know that God wants us to become children of light, because our God is the Father of light. He has given birth to His children, and we are His children of light. As Jesus is the light and life, and we have His life in us, for us to know this, He sent the Holy Spirit to expose the light in us. And so until the end, we continue to live as children of light and let no darkness, not even a single spot of darkness, enter us, and we cast it away. Let there be only light in us, so that on the day of the Lord Jesus Christ's return, we can be taken from here where there is light forever, where there is no spot of darkness. Hallelujah. And there will be no more night, no more darkness, no more pain, no more sadness, no death. There is only light. We'll be with our Lord forever and ever, where it is bright and shining. Amen. Do you worry you may not be a bright light? That may be the case. But even a firefly, it puts all effort to shine its last light before it dies. The return of our Lord is soon, and we know it's approaching. So how must we shine our light? How can we become light? How can we shine this light? Even if it's like a firefly, let us shine our light, put all effort to shine our light, so we can enter the holy city and dwell in eternal light forever and ever.